Bob, you missed Limits and I harmonizing in tribute to Dan Zangrilli arriving here in studio. That was my bad. I forgot. I completely forgot.
I'm forgettable.
Well, you're not.
No, Dan,
the,
you're not.
The pirates are right now, but you are not. And I apologize for that on behalf of Limits and myself, and I hope the little song we sang to you during his update somehow soothe things over here, Dan, and welcome.
Everything's better with the majesty of song, your voice, your face.
My face especially.
Why can't the Pirates come up with somebody like Andy Páez? He killed them this week, and I looked at the last series they have. In his last seven games, he's had 586 batting average, 8 runs batted in, 4 home runs, 3 stolen bases, a 1,300.
Whoa. Lest you forget the legacy of John Nagowski, Pomp.
Yeah, Bob.
Okay, so he's going to turn
Nagowski.
Out to be the big Nagowski. I don't think so.
No. I know. That's
how old
Bullseye.
Is he? He's like 24,
Bullseye.
Right? He's a young kid.
Bullseye. How about, have you ever heard of Carson Kelly?
Yes. Last night I heard of him. Big time.
For the first time.
You know who I didn't heard? I didn't know who that catcher would have 18 runs batted in an OPS of 1371, last I checked. Mm-hmm. He's not young now. I know he's been around because he was with, I think, Texas or somebody. But that's a good signing. Where did they get him? Was it a free agent signing?
How about Kyle Tucker? Have you heard of Kyle?
They should have done that. That's a reasonable price for somebody who can be really good, which he is. Sorry, Joe.
No.
My Andy Páez thing drove me nuts.
I'm enjoying this.
I could not understand how the Pirates didn't pitch to him differently throughout the course of that. It seemed like he hit everything. Maybe he's just that hot, you know?
There are issues, and they are many.
Well, that's where we began today, Dan, is they're sitting here at 11-19. Mm. They have to go 74-58 to get to, what is it, 85 wins limits? Is that it? And that might not even get you a wild card. They're getting blown off the field now the past three games. This is an unmitigated disaster, and I take no joy in bringing up this topic, but it's a recurring one, is how long could any manager in a situation like this, whether we think it's right or wrong, whether we think that removing Derek Shelton would mean that much of a difference, how long could any manager, you and I have been watching baseball for 100 years, survive this? Like, how is he surviving this?
Yeah. I would imagine he feels pressure. Has to, right? I would think. It's not coming out in the rhetoric. He's putting on a really good public face, and I think burying it very deep down below the surface. I'm going to hold serve with the 60 games. They played their 30th last night, so how long? I'm going to go 60 because that gives you, and listen, you can make the case, Joe, and, you know, how about the previous 5 years, right? That's a big enough sample size. But
how about just since he signed his contract extension when they were 14-7? I believe they're 40 or 50 games under 500 since then.
You could make changes today. You could have made changes 2 weeks ago. And you could have been obviously well within your rights, completely justified, and had overwhelming evidence to support the decision.
Yeah.
But this is the year, I believe, and this is just my opinion. I haven't been told anything specifically, but this is the year to pay the rent, the tab's due. Okay, you're missing your entire right side of the infield. Okay, you're missing two starters in your rotation. Okay, this, that, and the other thing. You're missing one of your catchers. They've been eroded from a depth perspective. Taking all of that into account and not making excuses, whether or not the rent is due there at the end of this 60-game sample size, because I think at that point you have a pretty good indication that you're not fooled one way or the other, for better or for worse. Once those 60 games come and go, you take a look at where you're at. In this case, it's, you know, 11-18. If they're 20-40, I mean, I'll ask the same question that you're asking. How can you not make a move? Because at that point, if you've showed no signs of progress, if you haven't surged or some of the reinforcements that hopefully come back make an impact on this team, then yeah, you are you've got to answer, and I'm talking to the owner here. You've got to answer to your fan base 100%.
Yeah, and I think it goes deeper than just manager too. It's everything, right? I mean, the whole program after 6 years has to be looked at and determined that it needs a freshening, and you need to start over. And I hate to say that because they've started over so many times, but you know, it's one of those things. And we had this debate today, Joe and I did, Dan, about the impact of Derek Shelton here, and does it, you know, translate into wins and losses, and how many, if so? They're 11-19. That's 30 games. I mean, I think he's made some decisions that have hurt them from a lineup point of view, changing it as much, and also using bullpen people. How many games do you think he's actually impacted so far in 30 games?
So on the lineup front, I don't agree in changing as much as he does, but I also do believe in changing to be matchup specific, left versus right, the certain pitch that the opposing guy has that your particular hitter may be good against. So from a matchup standpoint, you have to, like any coach in any sport, you have to play the matchups. You don't just, for hell or high water, pen in your nine guys that you did 30 years ago and run them out there. But I also don't move the deck chairs around and overthink it, because there is paralysis by analysis. So I'm somewhere in the middle there. From a in-game managerial deployment, there are far more areas where I have turned my head to the side, found myself first guessing, than I did, as unfair as this may be. And I had plenty of issues, more so not with his baseball side, with his predecessor, but I found myself in far more agreement managing alongside the manager as I watched the game. I was in far more agreement with Shelton's predecessor than I am with how Shelton goes about it. And listen, he's done some really good things. He's won them some games, but I mean, yeah, there's far more do-overs that I've found in areas in the post-game show where I'm like, I have no idea where he's at with this.
Never more so than Saturday night in L.A. when Joey Bart tries to score from third on a shallow fly ball, and it was unclear whether he went on his own or whether Mike Rebelgo, who doesn't know the word stop, and by the way, he follows in the grand tradition of Goey Cora and Rick Gofield, Shelty says after the game, he's asked, well, did Bart go on his own or did Rebelgo send him? And he says, I don't know on that. I don't know what happened. Dan, that's not what anybody wants to hear. The comments under this story by the Beeswhacker, Colin Beasley from Post-Gazette, are filled with people ripping Shelton. It reminds me of Charrington when he's asked to explain the hitting woes and goes into deep under the surface analytic stats and sounds like an attorney. Somebody's got to get to these guys and say, gentlemen, nobody wants to hear, A, that you don't know what happened on a play when you're the manager of the team, and B, if you're the GM, nobody wants to hear attorney talk. Please let people know what's going on. Please.
And I think, yeah, the overarching narrative and the ire of the fans is, I think, steeped in not necessarily the personnel on the field. Yeah, they're ticked off about that. But they want somebody to commiserate with. They are mad that you're not mad.
And you hear from these people more than anybody in town on the postgame.
And that's why I try to do the type of show that I do, because there are times where we need to commiserate with one another. We need to connect with each other. We're in this together. And it never really should be a them and us sort of thing, where you have the establishment and the organization and the ivory tower. It should be one cohesive, connective tissue. If you're truly able to connect with your fans. And I think especially here in Pittsburgh, you will get a pass, and your fan base will be sympathetic towards the brutal socioeconomic status of the Pirates in the bigger, larger Major League Baseball dysfunctional ecosystem if you would just speak a bit more candidly. If you would show on your face, and I'm not saying that you need to lose any and all emotions and faculties. I'm not sure that you need to flip tables and pull a Hal McCray where you rip the phone out of the wall and hit a reporter in the head with it. If you saw that video from years ago,
like, yeah,
well, that does make a statement, though.
It yeah. does. But I think that when you, and it's in the rhetoric of how they speak of, yeah, you got to adhere to a process to a point, and you have to be unflappable and steady at the wheel to a point, but you need to be able to connect with your fans. And I think you make things worse if you just whistle through the graveyard, comport yourself as if this is all okay, nothing is wrong, things are burning down around you, and that's all fine and good. No, you need to be ticked off. And fans are probably mad that they don't see you ticked off. You probably are behind the scenes, but that front-facing of calm and stoicism is doing you no favors.
Mm.
What about accountability? What about, and we had this discussion also, because I'm a big believer that if I were, I had asked for very, I remember Jim Leland said this to his group once. He said, I'm not going to challenge you on a lot of stuff, but all I want, and this is my expectation, that you bust your butt every day, that I see no excuses in that. And when you don't, it may cost you a time to play. Do we see enough of that?
No, because that goes back to, I think, the rhetoric and the accountability. And, you know, you respect a manager or a coach protecting their players or coaches to an extent. So, for instance, the Rebello thing. I don't know, was Shelton's answer. That was maybe a backhanded, passive-aggressive way of perhaps sending a message to his third base coach. This is just me spitballing here. Maybe he's sending a message to his third base coach while also trying to protect him in the same breath. How about we just speak candidly here? Because this is the era of social media cutting through BS, where it's really hard to pull the wool over anybody's eyes and for them not to suspect something. Our BS meters and antennas are at an all-time high. So to try to take that tact and not speak openly, honestly, candidly, and be authentic, right? It only exacerbates the problems.
Mm.
You've got to be able to connect with people, and you do that in an authentic manner by letting them see who you are. Not that the entire curtain doesn't need to be pulled back, but I think we would all take comfort in seeing somebody snap out. Yes.
When will we see Brian Reynolds? Brian Reynolds.
Bubba
Chandler. That's a legitimate question.
He's 0 for his
when
last
18.
When
will we see Brian Reynolds?
Yeah. He does go through some slumps.
Especially early.
Yeah. He's Adam LaRoche II at the moment.
Well, he was on one there for a little while and carrying the team, but
I should have left that question as is. Yeah. But when will we see Bubba Chandler?
Chandler, I would like to think, if I'm going to pinpoint it here.
He pitches tonight, I think, too.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Atlanta series.
So May 9th, 10th?
He's really on a similar track to Paul Skenes, almost an identical blueprint, and they've been quick to clarify that, okay, yeah, there are some differences because they're different individuals, but I think they really like, and listen, you got to give credit where it's due. I think they did a tremendous job with Skenes and how they handled him. In hindsight, you would have brought him up, you know, at the beginning of the year, broke camp, so you get the draft pick, but I think how they handled Skenes, it was a terrific case study, one that they are using on Chandler. So Skenes was up May 11 last year. I'm going to go, it would be about a week later, I think, that Atlanta series, or right around that same time, I think, is when the Braves are in town. So that's, if I'm hedging a bet, that's when I'm going with Chandler.
Yeah, I would have done it already. I'm just, Majinski's fine for me in a bullpen role, but, you know, I understood the first few weeks of the season. I've seen enough from Chandler down there. I think, you know, five starts, is that enough? I think it is for a guy of his capabilities, and he's been terrific down there.
Yeah, and on Majinski, I think they also did want to kind of half-heartedly see what he could do as a starter, because he has the pitches, he has the stuff. Can he put it all together, turn the lineup over multiple times? If by chance they didn't do that, and, you know, that's a tragedy. Not running that out. Majinski is a starter. I don't think he can be a starter. I think he's a reliever. I'm with you, Bob. I would say that this is his last start or second to last start. But I'm glad that they did go through this project, as painful as it sometimes has been.
No, he started great. That's what makes me think he's better suited for a bullpen.
He's one time through.
Yeah, the second time, and that could be true of a lot of pitchers, actually. So,
yeah, and they wanted to see if he could give him a handful of chances to roll that lineup over multiple times to show that he can't do it.
Right. No, I get that.
Dan, we appreciate the time. We're going to hear you on pregame and postgame tonight.
Indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dan Zangrilli.
Zangrilli Lane.
Zangrilli.
Da, 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 da. That's right over there.
That was baritone.
Yeah.
That was bass.
Now, if we can combine myself, Limits, and Bob on a rendition of Zangrilli Lace, you want to try that, Bob?
What are the words, though? I don't know all the words.
I don't know. Remember that song, yeah. Chantilly Lace?
Well, let's keep
so
it
we,
up.
So we just go, wait Zangrilli, a we're not allowed to. Zangrilli Lace,
Chantilly.
Da 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 da
da. How do you spell Chantilly?
I don't know.
Chantilly.
Limits, you'll pipe in as a soprano here? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, I'm a willing party here in this singing opera situation.
If we don't know the words, you got to hum it then, right?
Well, no, it's just a short intro, Zangrilli Lace. And you can hum it or da 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 da.
You've been doing this for a decade. May I ask for the first time, where the hell did it come from?
Dirtbag Dan is what I call him.
He's a different breed. You should know that by now.
It
he is a different breed.
It came from the song Chantilly Lace.
No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your singing.
He's talking specifically about Zangrilli Lace.
The singing and this.
Well, I mean, you sing about everything.
Yeah.
But it's every day in the hall.
Right. That's my greeting.
For 10 years.
For 10 years.
Day
for 10
on the years. Phone.
A decade.
Good morning, City Limits. You truly are so kind. Good morning, City Limits. You like to eat pork rinds. Yeah. I've never eaten one pork rind in my life.
Whenever there's a doubt, Paul Blart. Pork rinds.
Paul Blart. Rhyming with smart. Bob, give this a shot. And then as we go through it, I want you to riff in an Elvis-like voice. It's going to go Zangrilli Lace, da-da-da-da-da.
You know we're on the air right now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Limits pipe in wherever you feel.
Yes.
Okay. A one, a two, and a three.
Zangrilli Lace.
Gotta have
da, 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 da.
The things you wanna do.
Zangrilli Lace.
Zangrilli Lace.
Da, da, da,
gotta have a place. And that place is the pregame show.
This is as.
Should that be our Dan intro every
this
time?
This is more
on?
Disastrous than the whipping winds of yesterday.
I thought that was pretty good, Dan. And you should be honored, I think. Should we add that to the intro?
Maybe we should review it first and see how it turned out.
Bob, you were fantastic, as always. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
I think.
Yes, indeed. It's that time of the week. One of our favorite times of the week. Dr. Marcus Cabali. You can see him, Bob. There he is.
Front and center.
On our YouTube connection here. You can subscribe to our YouTube video. 93.7 The Fan of all our shows. It don't cost nothing. And you get to look at us all. Is that a threat or a promise, Limits? I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. The answer is yes.
How are you, Mark?
I'm great. I'm great, Bob. How are you doing? Oh, Joe, I didn't see you there.
I'll answer for Joe.
Steelers apologist Joe Starkey.
You know, it's all in good fun. Here we go. Jerry Dulac says that the Steelers simply weren't interested in Shedeur Sanders. And even though they had a first round grade on Jackson Dart, they just had zero interest in a quarterback. Did you agree with their strategy here? And how do you explain having a first-round grade on a quarterback? You need a quarterback. It's the most important position, yet you don't take one.
Well, you can have a first-round grade on a quarterback, but the guy left in front of you that you pick, you have feel that he has a higher ceiling. I think they felt that Derek Harmon was a no-doubt slam dunk can't miss prospect, while Jackson Dart could turn into something or he could not turn into something. So I think at that point, you take with what you believe is the known commodity, and they felt that Derek Harmon was that guy over a quarterback. And now if things would have felt differently, maybe we're talking something different here, but I don't think they were quite interested in a quarterback considering where they could have taken Jalen Milroe. They could have taken Shedeur Sanders. They could have taken anybody. They had to wait till 183 to finally say, okay, we can't pass up Will Howard. So they have a plan. The question is if that plan is going to work out in the long run.
So do you think, like I do, that all along they were kind of zeroing on a 2026 mark as a quarterback draft that could be maybe deeper, more talented? Mm-hmm. I guess this is still subjective until we see it, but they were going to do that knowing they have Aaron Rodgers. And I think this confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt that Aaron Rodgers is coming here.
Yeah, I think they've known that for some time now, or at least had a good inkling of that was going to happen. But I think they look at next year's draft class as a better opportunity or a deeper class to be able to get those first-round prospects. But you never do know, Bob. I mean, Quinn Ewers last year at this time was considered a top prospect in NFL football.
And Jackson Dart wasn't, right? I mean, he moved right up the stock pile.
So many things can happen between now and 11 and a half months from now. It's almost impossible to make a prediction here, but they do feel that if everything goes as planned, that if they're going to have a potential four or five options to move to be quarterbacks they think that might be decent, now they have the capital, 11 picks, you know, couple thirds, couple fours, couple fifths, couple sixths, to be able to move up into position where you can take that guy. I think that was always the plan. And in the interim, you go with Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, and you can't pass up Will Howard at 183, and that's where they're at.
Who was your favorite pick beyond Harmon in the whole draft for the Steelers?
That's a tough one because I like Harmon. I like Harmon a lot. I mean, how can't you say Jack Sawyer, right? I know you're looking at a fit right now, and where is he going to fit in when you got three really good edge rushers, coming back for, foreseeable future too. But when you have a guy with that mentality, you saw it. Everybody saw the video after he got drafted. You got to love a guy like that. He's made plays in big situations. And, Herbig, Watt and Highsmith all have been injured at some point over the past couple seasons. So you always need at least four guys. At least they don't have to go out and find, the Melvin Ingrams of the world now. At least this guy seems like in the short term, he's a special teams monster. In the long term, he could be a 6-year, 7-year, 8-year starter if everything works out fine. So I like that pick a lot.
How about the upside of the quarterback, Will Howard, because he seemed to be thrilled with coming to Pittsburgh. He's a Western Pennsylvania guy. He wanted to go to Penn State. They didn't give him a chance there, and he's capitalized on that. So I'm wondering, knowing that he won a national championship, there were some big throws and big moments that he made, but can that translate to this level? And what is the ceiling for him, do you think?
There's a reason why he was picked in the 180s, mm-hmm. right? A lot of team passed him. There's a reason why he was, the sixth or seventh quarterback. He just doesn't have that full body of work. His arm is apparently suspect. His accuracy is somewhat suspect. And I know Steelers fans are very happy of getting a quarterback, but you probably should slow down a little bit here. This is a guy that can be a project. He could be turned into something good. He might not be able to. But the way I look at a sixth-round pick and a guy that had – a very talented group to work with at Ohio State is, even if he is nothing more than a backup for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, that's a huge win. I mean, not many people in the world can say they're a long-term backup right now. So
you make a lot of money. Look at Chase Daniel. How much money did he make?
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a long-term backup and playing 3 or 4 games a season. I don't know if he's going to turn into Tom Brady. Look at the 6th-round picks over the entire, the past 15, 20 years of quarterbacks. There's nothing out there that's jumping out at you saying that this guy's going to be a star. I mean, it's just the history tells you he's not going to. He has an uphill battle. But if he's a long-term backup, that's great. That's just absolutely great.
Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Call in now to win 2 tickets to see AC/DC when the Pretty Reckless Tour comes to Acrisure on Thursday, May 8th. Caller number 4 to our dear friend City Limits at 412 928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19, Peters Township. And listen to this, Kabali. Join Adam Crowley and True Fan Travel on a once-in-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the black and gold play across the pond this fall. Five nights in Dublin, tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and or land-only travel packages available. For more info on how you can take over Ireland with Crowley, go to 937thefan.com's homepage. What do you make of that? Are you? I'm assuming you're going. Are you going to hang out with Crowley?
I'm making it. I see Pony and Mueller already trying to force their way to tag along. I think the veterans of the Fan, the Joe Starkeys and the Ball Pompiani, had to get out in front of that and say, hey, how about a week of shows in Ireland?
Bob, are you going? Think? Are you going to Ireland?
No, I don't think so.
Well, what you should do you make go it? With Starkey.
Because is Starkey going now? Is that
no,
news
I'm
to
not
me?
Going.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get out in front of it.
I don't want to go.
What?
No, but I know Pony and Mueller do. And then the fact that Crowley's going to be there, Bob, I think is a big story, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Rich Walsh will be there and our photographer Ian Smith will. But we do a lot of shows generated from the station, so I imagine we'll do it all here. If not, maybe we will go. I don't know. Those plans haven't been made yet.
I want Starkey and Pomp from Ireland.
With a Guinness.
That actually wouldn't be bad. I mean, I can get to Ireland faster than I can get to from my house to South Hills Village at this rate, Bob. In the last couple of years.
With this traffic, right?
Traffic in the last 2 years has just.
It's been crazy. And now you know what's going to throw it off even more today is that a lot of these red lights do not work. And so people have to be respectful of one another and treat it like a stop sign. But I already saw this morning and people were like running through it.
Yeah.
And there's potential for real disaster there.
Well, Mark, answer me this. There's a lot of talk about Will Howard. I saw Chris Canty.
Ding, ding, ding. Can I show this
What happened?
To you? The Ravens have declined the fifth-year option on two-time Pro Bowler center Tyler Linderbaum.
Holy bird milk. How what do you think that? Of that? Mark?
I was thinking they'd cut Lamar Jackson or something. You had me worried there for a second, Paul.
No, but I mean, I think his option was, I don't know, you tell me what centers make are good on 20-some million, right, in that range?
I don't know what his fifth-year option would be.
Well,
he's
at least
a two-time Pro Bowler, though.
They're a leg up on the Browns. They didn't even know Kenny Pickett had a fifth-year option that needed to be exercised or not, Bob. Did you see that story?
No.
They were too worried about getting forced to pick Shador, right? Did you see Mark Schlereth say that if you put all five of the, Cleveland's quarterbacks together, you might be able to have a good backup?
That's pretty good.
I tried to do that, and you can't even do that, Bob. You can't do that, Joe. I tried to take the best aspects of all five, and I can't come up with a good.
Who's going to be under center for their opener, do you think?
Flacco. I think Flacco got
that's my bet, too.
I think
Flacco.
Pickett.
Or
I
wouldn't be surprised if Dylan Shedeur Gabriel? Sanders just does something that makes them think, okay. And if you're Jimmy Haslam, if you were the one, in fact, who made this decision, you would probably tell your coaching staff, I made this decision. You make sure he gets an opportunity, even if he's not maybe worth it at first.
Well,
it's not like all these guys are great quarterbacks ahead of him.
Kabali, they couldn't. It's hard even to run a three-man competition. They've got how do you even run anything approaching a fair three or four-man competition when they had Pickett and who else was here 2 years? Oh, Pickett, Trubisky. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
And Rudolph. Poor Mason was left out in the cold. How are the Browns even going to do that?
I wonder if I wonder who's in the pole position right now, right?
I think Pickett is. I mean, Flacco.
I think you go Flacco, turn to Pickett eventually.
I think Flacco's last gasp was a couple years ago. He did not look right last year. Do you guys agree with that or no?
Well, I could say the same about a lot of those older quarterbacks, including Aaron Rodgers at times. So, you know. It's what you think.
Steelers would disagree.
No, I'm just saying you've seen evidence at times that it's not good. We saw it here in Pittsburgh, I thought. That game he played here against the Steelers wasn't very good on his behalf.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, and then Flacco played a good game against the Steelers. But then late in the year, he finished with like seven interceptions in the last four games. I don't know about him.
He is like 55, right?
Yeah, he's older than Ron Cook. He should go down to Fort Myers and drink with him.
Free beer, right?
Free beer.
It's free. It's for me.
Do you think Ron has, I'm pretty sure he has found a place where he gets free food and drink every day.
Everywhere Ron's ever been to, he's found free food and free beer.
Do you agree with that, Bob?
Moves on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's probably, yes.
Hey, there's something to that, to be able to have that sort of moxie to walk into place and demand free food.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he has to demand it. People knew who he was. They come in, they offer to him before he ever demands anything.
But has it happened in Florida for him?
Listen, when you
Bob?
Have your face on a Brighton hot dog shop cup, you're in pretty good.
There's somebody else that has one too there, Bob.
That's right.
Yeah. Ron hasn't picked up a check since Malzi had hair. I mean, and probably not even before that. He gets those those alligator arms like that commercial.
Hey, do you think he would have ever taken like Donnie Football and Limits to a steak dinner, Ron Cook?
No. God, no. No.
Joe did that. Joe paid a hefty sum of money, and I guessed what it was because I know exactly what that menu offers.
Yeah.
Right?
You were right on the bill. Yeah.
And I didn't do what Austin does. He goes looks into Google first. I didn't have to do that. I knew immediately.
Oh, again, the accusations.
Limits, did you have fun that night?
Great time. It was awesome. Joe thought that I was trying to peek at the check to see how much it was.
He was. I saw that.
You just had to call me. I would have told you.
I was.
And then Donnie, on a dare from Pony and Muller, after we order steaks for everybody, mashed potatoes, sweet potato crumble, and I think scallops or some such thing.
Oh, no scallops. I would have remembered if there was
no,
scallops.
No, the lobster mac and cheese.
That's what it was.
Donnie pipes in when the guy starts to leave, the waiter, who I was calling Cornelius, and says, how about an order of Brussels sprouts at the end? Like, that was necessary.
It is necessary because they do them well, and you would love them, and they taste like candy. What a way to wrap up
candy.
A dinner.
They were pretty good, actually.
They're good.
I'm guessing over three bills, right? Right,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but you know what? It's lucky it wasn't me who was there as a guest of Joe Starkey because my night would have ended with a
cream
shot of Louis the 13th at $190 a shot.
Was he superior to Louis the 12th, Bob, in every way?
Well, he has a drink named after him that everybody loves, and the price has just gone skyrocketing.
What about Louis Domingue?
Or Louis Domingue? Well, no, we could order spicy pork and broccoli.
Remember
when top of the game right there.
Big boy, remember we went out for barbecue with Jeremy Fowler and Joe Rutter and company in Kansas City?
Yeah, I have a picture of that, of you and the Adamski eating barbecue. Also, I got a picture of you in San Francisco at the Chinese place. What was that called?
Oh, that place was legendary.
For you.
Yeah,
Sean McCullough ordered for you. You got so upset.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I think he was treating, but he was all, I didn't want him to treat or order for me. He's a very nice man. So he's treating because it's a joint that he knows well, but then he orders everything for us and it was all fried. I'm like, I want to pay for my own and just order what I want. I don't want to eat what you're ordering for me. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It's the place with the peanut sauce. I can't remember the place. It's in Chinatown in San Francisco.
Bob, you ever gone out to eat in San Francisco?
Yes, a very nice place. It was a fish place, seafood place. I can't remember the name of it, but This was back when Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon went head-to-head in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, they did in San Jose.
In San Jose. We drove up there anyway just to go to this restaurant, which was crazy.
Those were the days, Bob. So why is Aaron Rodgers waiting, Mark? And are you
– House of Nanking, by the way.
The House of Nanking, that's right.
Yeah.
What has you convinced that this is like a foregone conclusion?
Well, common sense. I just think the Steelers don't move and do the things that they've done the whole offseason unless they got a pretty strong sense, even a stronger sense over the past week or two that he's going to sign here. And that's, I mean, everybody else is moving. Right now, it's only between him, the Steelers, and retirement. And I don't think a guy who wants to go out basically on his back in the Jets like he did underperforming and a guy who goes out and throws with DK Metcalf is interested in retiring right now. What is he waiting for? Maybe he wants to be 1,000,000% sure something doesn't happen. He has to renege on his contract offer. You know, the worst thing for him would be signing, then something happens in that personal life he referred to and says, hey, I just can't do this. That would look awful. So I think it's going to happen here before OTAs. So look the next 3 to 4 weeks, 3 weeks probably.
I think it might go beyond OTAs. It may go all the way into the summer.
I think before minicamp, definitely. Maybe, and I think it will be obviously
June, July, that kind of thing. Yep.
I'm looking maybe anywhere between May 22nd and June 6th. How about that?
What do you get from people? Because I know we get callers all the time on the nightly sports call, and they do not like this just because I think they don't like Aaron Rodgers. But it's a simple fix. If he comes in here and plays very well, then he will be the most popular guy in town. But what are most people telling you about him?
I mean, people I've talked to, obviously, they say he's a good locker room guy, actually. He's really – a lot of players like him. They're interested in him. A lot of the Steeler players I've heard are all for it, even if it is waiting a little bit right now. I don't think there's no ill will against it. I mean, if it's not him, I think they're just as happy with Mason Rudolph. But I just think there's – this thought, if you hear Aaron Rodgers, that he's a bad guy, he's a drama king, drama, whatever you want to say it. Maybe part of it's true, but I think it's been blown out of proportion a lot. And you're right, Bob, if as long as he can play, and Russell Wilson's a perfect example of that, 6 games, man, he could have ran for governor of Pennsylvania. Then the last couple weeks.
I don't know about that, but certainly mayor of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, me.
Well, those people out east. I didn't want to be that specific, but
Bob, man, he
wanted to dump him from everything. So what I'm saying, if he does play well, people will love him.
Joe, could you interest Mark in a game of free association?
I think I could. May I? All right, doctor, we have to hurry here. You ready?
I'm ready.
Who's going to get the most carries on this team if everybody's healthy this season?
Jalen Warren.
Are you convinced that Caleb Johnson is a better breakaway threat than Najee Harris was, which is to say he's at least somewhat of a breakaway threat?
I think I'm a better breakaway threat than Najee Harris.
With two Achilles.
And a knee. And a shoulder. Knee.
Bob,
an old man.
You interrupted free association and threw off the rhythm.
I'm sorry.
George Pickens, does he get traded before the season?
Nope.
Is this his last year here?
Yep.
Will Howard, percent chance he'd get to play over Mason if it was just those two?
Zero.
Are the Steelers a playoff team?
Do I have to give a percentage here?
No, yes or no?
Very close. Yes, but barely.
Grade their entire offseason. Give them a grade. Let's assume Aaron Rodgers comes here and grade their offseason.
Solid B.
Jay Gruden, former NFL coach and coordinator, gives them a D on their draft class. Says that things like he doesn't love Derek Harmon, plays too high, he says. In five words or less, how would you respond to Jay Gruden?
Where does he work at now?
Where does he work at now? That's six.
Six, but that was a nice delivery there.
I believe he works for the Pat McAfee Show. Thank you, big boy.
All right, Mark.
All right, fellas.
See you, buddy.
See you guys.
What a wonderful man, Bob. Low-key wonderful, right?
Yeah. I always enjoyed his take. And I like that response, too. I mean, this is filled with so many opinions. Right, wrong, and different. Nobody really knows. You just have an opinion of what's going on, and we'll see where it takes them. But by the end of the season this coming year, I guarantee a lot of the stuff we thought will probably go the other direction and vice versa.
What?
I don't know what I just said. Go to break. It's time. See, as a partner here, if Joe did something like that.
I don't know what he said.
I don't either know what I said. I just. Hey, Austin, if he did that, I would have the respect as a co-worker here that I would not make it worse by exaggerating what I said. I would just go to the break and let it go. Now it's become something that I don't want to talk about. Go to the break.
I'm sorry, Bob.